Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in. Welcome, welcome. We are so glad that you're here. You having a good morning so far? Excellent. We want to welcome in those that are tuning in, our friends all over the world via our podcast and website links. So High Ridge family, come on, give them a big warm round of applause and let them know you love them. God's doing some great things here. We're glad that you could tune in and be a part of this with us this morning. I want to just share a special win with you before we get into the Word of God. And let me just tell you, we're putting on an event called Unite, where we're putting business leaders and pastors from all over this city into the exact same place at the same time to bring the best possible change and the best ideas to bring the power of God into this city to redirect some of the wrongs that need to be made right in our city. And it has been amazing to see the wonderful things that God is doing. We're preparing for that event, which is September the 12th, coming up here. That's just next week, guys. This is coming up quick. And so I want to make sure that if you haven't bought tickets to come see John Maxwell, John Bevere Live, also a bunch of churches are getting together to help support this event and help bring the level of leadership to its full capacity in this city and watch God do amazing things. You need to do that. It's going to be great. And so one of the things that we did this past week is we put together a lunch to try to reach out to some more pastors that are hopefully trying to come together. And we had the expectation of four people said that they would join us. And so I said, hey, I'll do it with four people. If that's all it takes, we'll do it with four. Well, we ended up having about 12 pastors that showed up, which was great. Great. And so I said, hey, before we get started with this lunch, I want to be respectful of your time, but can we just take a moment and pray for each other? And you see pastors, when you ask pastors to pray, here we go. And so they began to lay hands on one another, began to pray, which was awesome. And by the time that we finished praying together, I said, I'll introduce yourselves in case some of you don't know who each other is and which side of the city you're serving on, where your church is. And they began to introduce themselves. And three of the pastors that were sitting at the same table have churches on the same street next door to each other and had never met. And began to pray for one another, asking God to bless the other person's church, make friends. And I thought, now this is exactly what Unite is all about. Saying, hey, wait a minute. We have a common enemy here. Let's fight together instead of against each other. Let's watch what God can do if all of a sudden we don't fight each other. But let's get together and believe that when our churches start praying the same prayers, amazing things can happen. Can I get a better amen than that? God's doing some wonderful things in our city, and it's awesome to be a part of it. Grab your Bibles, or power on your Bible if you would. We're going to get into a brand new series called The Best Me. Somebody say, The Best Me. The Best Me. I want to challenge you with the question, what does 100% of you look like? If you were to give 100%, like all the effort, all the potential, if you were operating at your highest level, what would that look like? And I want to challenge you to maybe think about this in a different context than what your mind would automatically go towards. Many of us have been encouraged by teachers or coaches or parents along the way saying, son or daughter, you have unlimited potential. You have great potential. What would you look like if potential was no longer potential, but it was reality? And I want to challenge you with that a little bit this morning as we're digging into the Word of God. What would it look like if I was absolutely the best version of me that I could be? I watched a movie a while back a few years ago with Bradley Cooper called Limitless. And don't judge me by that. We're a non-denominational church, so we can watch TV. It's okay. And it's not the cleanest movie ever. I'm not advocating for the movie, but I'm simply saying the premise of the movie was interesting. It intrigued me because they had developed this pill that you could take that would unlock your greatest potential and produce this 100% version of you. And in this moment, after he begins to take this pill, all of a sudden he's super wise and he's able to make money and he's able to do the things that he always wished he could do. He's extremely creative and he can plan ahead and he just becomes the most brilliant man on the planet. And I thought, that's really, really a cool idea. But what would 100% of you look like? If you were operating at your peak, what would it look like? You know, until you are in touch with the person that designed you, you may never know what 100% you looks like. The Bible tells us very clearly in Psalm 139 and verse 13, it says, God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You're the one that made me. You designed me. You built me. So you ultimately know what I'm capable of. And sometimes in my limited mind, in my limited understanding, I sell myself way shorter than what God wants for me. What would 100% you look like? And so as we're digging into God's word, I want to tell you that 100% you will never be how much money you make, how much wisdom that you've accumulated, how many degrees you have up on your wall, although there's nothing wrong with those things, but the best version of you is not going to be more physically fit or even a better parent or a better husband or wife, a better coworker, better abs. Those are wonderful things. I don't know what abs feel like, but I'm sure that they're probably amazing for those of you that have them. But until I come in contact with my designer, all the things that I judge my own potential with are temporary. They're temporary. And they can be raised or lowered depending upon discipline. There's nothing wrong with discipline. Many of us need to increase the discipline to be able to do things better. But unlocking the best version of you has nothing to do with your discipline. It's more about your position. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. I can position myself by my choices to unlock God's best for me. I want you to think about that statement because this is absolutely true. According to the Word of God, you can position yourself into a place underneath the hand of God where all of a sudden things that you didn't realize were there suddenly become the best version of you. If you're a note taker, I want to start with this. The very first thing that we're going to lead off with, if you will, in this series. The best version of me, the best me is a fully surrendered me. The best version of me is fully surrendered. Now, you may know the word surrender as, you know, you may see someone, you know, holding up their hands in worship, or you may see someone holding up their hands because a police officer has told you, put your hands up. I'm fully surrendered. Hey, whatever you want to do, I'm not fighting you. I give you complete and total control. A surrender may sound like giving up, but in biblical terms, surrender is much more than just giving up. It's an exchange of wills with an amazing benefit. Biblical surrender is saying, God, I exchange my will for your will, knowing that your will is much better and comes with many more benefits than mine does. Your will for my life, God, unlocks the best potential for mine. Surrender, biblically, is an exchange of your will for the will of your designer, the person that brought you into existence, the man that knit you together in your mother's wombs, the amazing power of God. He knows you better than you know yourself. His ways are higher, Scripture says. His thoughts are higher. And so when you unlock the potential inside of you, it's only done by getting in touch with your designer and exchanging your will for his will. The best version of me is a fully surrendered me. The case in point today in a character study is the man named Saul. Now, Saul, if you're going to describe Saul before he met Christ, before he fully surrendered Christ, would best be described as a terrorist. He was a religious nut, an extremist. And so if you study the life of Saul, you know that he persecuted early Christians. He came into their church services. He came into their homes. He tore families apart. He put Christians in jail, persecuting the church, not realizing that the best version of Paul was in a completely different direction. You see, God had changed Saul's name to Paul on the road to Damascus. And in Acts chapter 26, where I'd have you turn to there today, we're going to kind of draw some truths from this entire chapter, but I want to just focus on one particular verse just for the sake of time. But Paul is standing before a man named King Agrippa, and Paul is here at the end of his life, and he's telling his story. He's telling his testimony of where it all started, where God changed and unlocked the power of the best version of him. And he's saying, I was on this road to Damascus, and my name used to be Saul, but God shone this huge bright light. And in that moment, it completely blinded me. I couldn't see anything, and it knocked me off my horse. And the guys that were with me, as we were on our way to persecute these Christians, thought they heard a loud voice of thunder. They thought maybe I got struck by lightning or something, but I heard the voice of God. And as he's telling the story, he says, God spoke these words to me. And we pick this up in verse 14. He says, Saul, Saul. And by the way, when God speaks your name twice, it's normally because you don't listen very well and you're pretty hard-headed. It's almost like God's having to middle name you, like you have to middle name your kids. You ever have to do that? I knew I was in trouble when God, you know, when mama calls my name twice or when she has to middle name me. Like it got real. It just got real. Saul, Saul. And he says this to him, why do you kick against the goads? Why do you kick against the goats? Now, this is an interesting thing that God speaks to him because we don't use this language in modern, especially Texan terms. But this is a very common agricultural term that God speaks to him in, knowing that he would understand what he's talking about. You see, an ox goad is a long piece of wood that has a piece of sharpened metal at the end that a farmer would use to prod an animal into going into the right direction. An oxen would be used with this goad, and the farmer would use this to make sure that he stays in the right direction. And so when God is speaking to Saul at the time, he's speaking in a way that he would understand. Now, if we don't use language like this, we might better understand if God was to say something like this to us. Why are you beating a dead horse? Now, that makes no sense if you don't understand agricultural terms of the day, but we understand that what that means is you're talking about something that makes no difference. I'm not listening anymore. Or just shut up. You're beating a dead horse. You keep talking about something that doesn't matter, right? Or you might say to somebody, you might describe them as they're as stubborn as a mule. If you don't know mules, you might not understand, but the stubbornness that could be in a mule is extremely stubborn. They just dig in their heels and they're not moving. And so when you're saying someone is as stubborn as a mule, you're saying, look, they're not going to do it. They're stubborn. And so God is saying to Paul, why are you kicking against the goats? He's saying, I'm trying to direct you, and I've been trying to direct you for a long time. And every time I try to push you in one direction by giving you this little prick, you kick against it. And when an animal would kick against the goats, it's saying, I'm rebelling against the farmer. I want to do what I want to do. And what the farmer would do is he would hit him again and hit him even harder with this ox goad, saying that the more that you rebel against me, the harder it's going to be on you. You see, this is a long stick, so that oxen can't kick the farmer. All you're doing is make it harder on yourself. I don't know about you, but that describes a lot of my life. There's a long period of my life where it could be best described as beating a dead horse, stubborn as a mule, or kicking against the goats. Like, the harder I've just pressed my will against God's will, the worse my life got. And God is like, you're just making it painful for yourself. It's better when you start working with me instead of against me, God is saying. Why? Because I'm going to unlock the best version of you when you do it. You'll find that when you start working with me, you're a much better you. You know, the Lord loves to use the power of the Holy Spirit to goad us. We use that word to goad someone, which means to push them in a direction. And I wonder how many of us here today are fighting against the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday without even realizing it. You're kicking against the goads. And your life is hard because you're refusing to acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And he's saying things like, why don't you help that person? And you're saying things like, God, why don't you help me? I need it more than she does. God's saying things like, why don't you forgive this guy? You're like, what? Please. He didn't ask me for forgiveness. He doesn't deserve my forgiveness. I'm just not there yet. And God is saying, why are you kicking against the goats? He's pricking your heart, saying, go this way. Work with me. Work with me here. And we're just as stubborn as a mule. We're kicking against the goats, not realizing that it's just making it harder on us. Now, when we talk about forgiving people, there's an old adage that just says, you know, that not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and waiting around for the other person to die. Have you ever heard that? And truer words have never been spoken. That's what you're doing. You're making it harder on yourself. You're not making it hard for them. They're living their best life. You're the one that's having an issue. You're rebelling against the Lord. And so Paul comes to the realization that he'd been making his life much harder than it had to be by working against the Lord and not for him. Not realizing that the best Paul was a fully surrendered Paul. God began to change his life. He started by changing his name, and Saul became Paul, which, by the way, when God changes his name to Paul, it just means little, which is not the best nickname that you want from the Lord, by the way. Like, wait, Peter got Rocky and I get little? You know, and honestly, in biblical terms, it would mean not just small, but means humble. It means humble. God is working on your humility, and you're thinking, this is a horrible name. I don't like this at all. Humility? No thanks. How about awesome? What's the Hebrew name for awesome? And so God starts by changing his name, and then he begins to change his heart. What does a fully surrendered you look like? What if your best life, the best version of you, started with complete and total surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit? What if instead of ignoring him or pushing back against it, we started listening to him and following his prompts throughout the day, doing good, allowing the Holy Spirit to use us Instead of just wasting the day, now we're working in context with our designer, working with him, not against him. We're not kicking against it, but we're listening. We're following the prompts of the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe that every single follower of Jesus Christ has this inside of them, but not all of us are fully surrendered to it. See, we like to give God just enough so that he'll leave us alone. But that's not what God wants from you. He wants to be Lord of all. He wants you to find the best version of yourself, and that means fully surrendering to him. Now, refusing to do that doesn't hurt God. It only hurts you. So how would I know if I'm fully surrendered to God? How do I know if I'm really listening to him, following those prompts? And I want to show you some things that we pick up as context clues in the Apostle Paul's life that I think will really help us today if you tune in and listen to it. A fully surrendered me looks like this. Number one, when my vision starts to change. Or when my perspective starts to change. When the things that I used to see are not necessarily the way that I see them now. You see, God didn't just bring Saul's vision back when he changed his name to Paul, but he gave him a brand new perspective. The Bible says a man named Ananias came to him and says, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And he lays his hands on him and all of a sudden he can see again. But now when he sees, he's not seeing the same things the same way anymore. You know, I've learned this, that when I start seeing through God's eyes, you realize a lot of things just don't matter. Have you found this to be true? When you start following after God, you start reading your word and you look around at your life, you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't matter the same way I used to think that it mattered. This used to be really important to me and I just don't see it the same way. So Paul gets his sight back and he also receives a new perspective. And I want to show you Paul's new perspective. And we pick this up in Ephesians 1 verse 18. Great scripture when Paul says, this is the way I see things now. And he says this, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance of in the saints." And he's saying, my hope and what I'm seeing now is that my greatest wish is that you would have your eyes open too. Then you'll see what real riches are. You see, most of us are clouded with ambition and money and the pursuit of all the things that it brings. But when you begin to see through God's eyes, those things take on a brand new perspective. And instead of just wanting more toys, it becomes on how can I use this to further the kingdom of God? Instead of just wanting to spend for myself, it's like, God, how would you like me to spend this? I have a new vision, new perspective. And by the way, this runs completely counterculture to your own selfish nature. This is like, that doesn't make any sense. What makes more sense is that I want to make more money so that I can have more things. But God's way is, I want you to be able to make more money so I can trust you with even more. So you'll do what I ask you to do. Why? Because it's the best version of you. So Paul has the eyes of his heart enlightened, and he says, I want your eyes to be enlightened to you so you can see what real riches are. So his vision has started to change. The second thing I know when I'm fully surrendered is that my desires start to change. Not only am I seeing things from a different perspective, but now I want things that I used to not want, and my desires have completely changed. I want what he wants. I want his will. I want his ways. I want his word. I want fellowship with him. A fully surrendered life shows itself by completely different desires. We find Paul's desires in this. Look at Romans 10 verse 1. We'll put it up here on the screen for you if you'd follow along. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire now and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Notice this is completely in a 100 degree different direction from what he used to be. My desire used to be that I could persecute every single one that calls himself a Christian and lock them all up in jail. I would do a really, really good job. Now my heart's desire is that they would be saved. I've got a completely different heart. I'm on mission. A fully surrendered heart reveals itself by doing things that are contrary to our selfish nature. Paul went from wanting to shut the church down to wanting to make it stronger. And by the way, this is just a side note. The church itself did not immediately welcome Paul with open arms when they heard his testimony. They're like, yeah, we're not buying that. Blindness, whatever. You can change your name, but you ain't changing the stripes on the back of that zebra. They didn't trust him. Like, wait a minute, this is the guy that's trying to put us in jail, trying to take my kids away from me, trying to destroy this relationship that I have with Jesus, trying to destroy the church. No thanks. God gave me wisdom, and I don't trust him. It took a while for people to see the change that was happening in Paul's heart. You see, the thing about God changing your vision and changing your heart is that people don't always see it, and they won't always give you the benefit of the doubt when you're starting to see things God's way. When you start surrendering to God, expect opposition. Expect people not to understand. They won't get it. It'll take a while. But you just got to keep on doing what you know God is asking you to do. Not kicking against the goads. I'm just following after him. And eventually, I'm going to let people take care of themselves. I'm worrying about pleasing God, not about pleasing people. A fully surrendered heart means my vision starts to change, and when my desires start to change, and then number three, when my hurts change. When the things that used to break my heart have changed to the things that break his heart. You know, we sing a song called Hosanna, and one of the lines in there is, God, break my heart for the things that break yours. The things that I want to hurt me are the things that are hurting you. When my hurts change. You know, Paul was only hurting himself with his refusal to surrender. It was just, you're hurting yourself. And now all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Instead of hurting myself, I want my heart to break for what breaks God's heart. I've looked at Romans 9, which is the next scripture I want to show you, starting in verse 2. I've looked at this scripture hundreds and hundreds of times, and I've never seen it in the context of what I saw today. But I want you to see Paul's hurts and how they've changed. Looking at verse 2, he says this, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Here's Paul saying, in essence, my greatest desire, and I have unceasing anguish in my heart, to the point where I would rather die and go to hell and receive the judgment if that meant that all the people that I know need to get saved, if they would get saved. Talk about hurts changing. If my going to hell means that the entire city would get saved, then I would choose that. I want them to know what God's called them to be. Talk about working against yourself and working out of your flesh and taking these things away from you. Paul is fully surrendered. He is all in to the place where I would give it all up today if that meant that people would know Jesus. That's a fully surrendered heart. You know, one of the biggest issues that Paul had to do was learn how to forgive not just others, but he had to forgive himself. Can you imagine spending the first half of your life working against the church and persecuting people? He was right there consenting at the death of Stephen, watching them stone this young man to death for his faith, and then having to spend the second half of your life dealing with all the damage that you had done in the first. And here's Paul saying, man, I've had to forgive myself. Because of all the pain that I've caused to the people of God. You know, forgiveness is the sign of a fully surrendered heart. Can you forgive people that have done you wrong? Can you forgive yourself? Can you receive the forgiveness of the Lord? That's what a fully surrendered heart looks like. I want to take for just a moment, I want you to see a video of some people that are learning how to fully surrender their heart. Check out this testimony.
My name is Kevin Richardson. I'm 54 years old, and I've lived in Longview most of my life.
My name is Julie Richardson. I'm younger than Kevin and have lived in Longview most of my life as well.
Julie and I met in 1993, and we've been best friends ever since. We chose early in our marriage not to have children, but we do have four rescue dogs that are asleep on the couch right now. We get to work together each day at our business, and we're blessed enough to be able to spend time at home afterwards together as well. My dad was killed in an explosion when I was 5. And my grandfather, who was a Baptist preacher, he took me under his wing and helped raise me until my mother remarried. My stepdad, he died after suffering 2 years in the nursing home from an aneurysm. I think I was 11 when he passed away. My second stepdad, he was an abusive alcoholic, and he drank himself to death. So by the time I was 13 years old, I was already doing drugs and running from the law. when I turned 19 years old, I was headed to work on my motorcycle, and a car crossed the yellow line and ended up hitting me head on. And that caused brain trauma and everything else. After that, I started hanging around the wrong crowd and doing drugs and everything else. Just, I ended up homeless. And to be honest with you, I was just broke, busted, and disgusted. Thankfully, I was invited to church in 1988, and I was saved and baptized.
My father passed away when I was 15 due to health issues. I was 20 when I stopped going to church. I never had a relationship with God, but I've always worked hard and played by the rules. I put myself through college and earned a 4-year degree, and then I met Kevin while I was finishing up school. I had lived such a sheltered life before I met Kevin, so for the next few years, we'd get on the Harley and hit every bar from here to Shreveport. And we had a lot of fun at that time. But I firmly believe in divine intervention because the good Lord kept us alive and out of jail.
Yeah, fortunately we settled down before it was too late. I even shaved my beard and we sold the Harley. Next, we got caught up in the material world and ended up buying expensive cars and flashing around our fancy credit cards until I got my act together and started putting the Lord first in my life.
So while all this was going on, some people we trusted with one of our businesses had done us wrong, and this is when the storms hit for me. Kevin had always stayed calm about everything because he trusted in God. I was nowhere near that point in my spiritual walk, and it made me angry and resentful. The anger and sadness and anxiety all hit me like a ton of bricks. I felt like I was going down a deep hole emotionally and had to try to keep up appearances.
I got online and saw Pastor Tim's messages on the High Ridge website, and I recognized him from 2 years earlier when he visited our business. He and his wife had come in. His messages were really moving, so I decided it was time for us to go to church, and we decided High Ridge was the church to visit.
When worship started, Kevin looked at me and said, "The Holy Spirit is present here." That's when I knew we had found our church home. The sermon was part one of the Dropping Weight series, and it was about forgiveness. That sermon really hit home with me, and I was able to forgive others as well as myself. I had raised my hand and prayed with Pastor Tim to accept the Lord, and then I was baptized on May 5th.
It had a huge impact on me. I was just a few days later, I was driving down the road in my Jeep headed home and had the windows down and the worship music on the radio, and just had a revelation from God. He was just telling me, "You finally found your way back." I just started sobbing. I realized right in that moment that I had just thrown all my past burdens right out that window, and I wasn't going to turn around and pick them back up again.
My life is real different now. I pray now for the people that had done me wrong. Instead of getting mad and angry when I would see them around town, it's interesting when you know, because this is a small town, so you see people going down the road. And I used to be, like, when I'd see them go down the road, just get real mad and just stirred up and all these things. Now, you know, I took his advice and just I'll say a quick prayer, like, blessing them, thank you, Lord, keep them safe. And it worked. It's like, it doesn't bring up anger or any, you know, it's just different. I went through these storms to get to this point spiritually, and it's just a whole another level now where I have a personal relationship with God that I never had before, and understanding that and knowing that He will take care of my burdens and my issues, and I don't have to deal with them on my own. And by helping me with that, I read my Bible and pray daily. And also the faith of my church family and the believers around me have really strengthened me and inspired me as well.
I've been able to focus more on my Bible study, and my prayer life has improved. Julie and I are walking together with Jesus now, and that has changed everything. We're members of the Dream Team now at High Ridge. We're looking forward to the life groups. We invite people to church, and it's our church. We invite people to our church. It feels good to say. We hand out Bibles at our business now. We pray with everyone that needs prayer. We're just all in.
How about a hand for my friends Kevin and Julie down here? These guys are awesome. Let me finish today by asking you, I want to ask you three questions. If you want to write them down, you can, but take a moment if you can, in all honesty, and ask yourself this as well. Have you fully surrendered your life to Christ? Have you fully surrendered your life to Christ? Not part of it. Because I'm telling you, he wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be Lord of all. And there's so many things that continue to stand in the way of us really fully surrendering to Him. Is that your money? You know, many of us will surrender our eternity and never give God our temporary money. Have you fully surrendered your life to Christ? Have you given Him your hurts? Given Him your kids? Your career? Are you all in? Second question is this. Is God pricking your heart about something? Is the Holy Spirit, has he been pricking your heart about something? Is there something that He's asking you to do? And maybe that's to find a church home. Maybe it's to ask for forgiveness. Maybe it's to forgive someone else. I fully believe that God is stirring. He's speaking. He's goading you throughout your day. And I want to encourage you to start saying yes to Him. That's a fully surrendered life. To start listening. And instead of ignoring that still small voice of the power of the Holy Spirit, just say, okay, Lord, show me how. Give me an opportunity. Here's the last question. I want to close with this. Is there something that you need to let go of? What's keeping you from being fully surrendered to Him? You know, there's some things that they're just not worth holding anymore. And yeah, you've got pain. Yeah, you've got issues. Yeah, you've got things. We all do. I get it. I'm not here to minimize it or make light of it. But I'm saying I know a God that can take care of that if you'll trust Him. And the best version of you is not a version that carries around unforgiveness and bitterness and pain and sorrow and regret and fear. The best version of you is a fully surrendered you, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and being obedient to what He's saying. You know, He is God, and He has a plan for you. He made you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He did it on purpose for His purpose. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you're not in the ground yet, and He's not finished with you. The best version of you is just a choice away. I want to encourage you to position yourself with your choices to see what the best version of you could really be. Give Him a chance. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he fully surrendered to Christ, Jesus went from just in his head to his heart. And he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. He started listening to the power of the Holy Spirit, and it unlocked his potential. The man changed the world. He wrote a third of the New Testament by himself with the second part of his life. It's not too late for you. What could God do with a fully surrendered version of you? Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but
I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well. HighRidgeLV.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from Him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you've walked away from Him and He knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me, heal me, change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.